Today's passage is 2 Peter 3, verses 1 to 7. This is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation." For they deliberately overlook this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. We're starting the last chapter of 2 Peter today, and this passage strikes a similar tone to the previous passage. Yesterday, we looked at Peter's warnings against false teachers and false prophets. And here, he addresses the scoffers of the day. He encourages the believers in the first couple verses to remember the words of the prophets that God sent and to remember the words of Jesus' disciples. That scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. Peter tells the believers that the fact that there are scoffers who oppose the truth should not be a surprise, because the prophets of the Old Testament and Jesus himself and his disciples all promised this. These are the last days, and the scoffers are here, following their own sinful desires. I'm not sure if the scoffers and the false prophets and teachers that we read about yesterday are the exact same group, or perhaps the false prophets and teachers are just a subset of the scoffers. But in any case, the scoffers are following their own sinful desires instead of submitting to God. And what is the scoffer's main claim? From verse 4, they will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation." The scoffers are questioning if Jesus will come back by asking, "Where is the promise of his coming?" And their argument is that they haven't seen God doing anything since the fathers fell asleep. My study Bible points out that the fathers here likely refers to the early church leaders. Although it's been at most a few decades since Jesus ascended to heaven, and even though the gospel has started spreading rapidly, the scoffers have convinced themselves that Jesus is not returning because, in their perspective, things seem to be humming along just like at the beginning of creation. The argument doesn't make much sense, and Peter breaks it down for them. In verse 5, since the scoffers mention creation, he says, "Sure, let's talk about creation." He says, "Remember that during creation, a long time ago, God formed the earth out of water and through water by his word." The reality of creation itself should remind everybody of how powerful God is, that out of nothing, he formed everything, including the earth. Moving on to verse 6, "And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished." God did not simply create the earth and let it go like a watchmaker. There was a time where he flooded the earth, since there was nobody that he found righteous except for Noah and his family. This account is found in Genesis chapter 6. I'll bring up just a couple verses from that chapter. "Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth." The corruption of man was the reason for the flood, and God spared just Noah's family and two of each type of animal, bird, and creature. God acted in judgment through this flood. And the flood was just one example of God's involvement on earth. Again, he did not just set it and let it go, but he was involved. He cared about what happened on earth, and he did things in response to what was happening on earth. Lastly, in verse 7, but by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. In this verse 7, Peter connects the flood to the judgment and destruction of the ungodly that will come one day. It's not a matter of if, but when. Like the believers who read Peter's letter, let's be reminded to not give in to the lies of the scoffers. Lies like Jesus is not coming back, or similarly, God is not active in the world today. The truth is that God has always been active. God is always active right now. The power of his word can be seen in creation, during the flood, and in many other instances throughout history. And we are called to live by faith that God will fulfill his promise through Jesus, that Jesus will return one day. When we believe that, everything changes because we know that our master will return at any moment. For example, the things that we tend to worry about or get upset about may be much less significant than we actually make them out to be. And things like serving one another or spending time with God end up being much more important than the world would say so. Perhaps we can ask ourselves if there has been a prayer that we have stopped praying lately or have started to lose hope in God for because we have not seen anything happen in that area recently. Maybe it's for strength to persevere against certain temptations, or maybe it's a prayer for a friend who seems closed off to God. Let's remember that God is active, so we can always have hope that he hears and that he moves in his timing. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this passage, and Lord, I pray that you would give us all a healthy perspective. Lord, help us to know that you are powerful and active, as we've seen in creation and during the flood. And Lord, that even though at times we may not be able to see super clearly how you're active right now, Lord, we trust that you are, and that that the world as we see it right now won't last forever. Lord, help us to live accordingly, and Lord, help us to make the things that you deem as important to us, and likewise, God, the things that we get caught up in that we shouldn't, Lord, we pray for your spirit to give us discernment and to let those things go. We lift up our hearts to you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.